Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Sterling on to Mount. Mount to finish it. That will do nicely. Connor Hazard, 6 foot six in that goal frame. And Pulisic scores.
Three ball to Sané, deep into the penalty area. Sané, and it's two. Kai Havertz doubles the lead inside 7 minutes here in the MSV Arena.
Ah, the sweet, sweet sound of Blues on international duty. This is Straight Outta Cobham, the Chelsea FC podcast from The Athletic. Every week we get together to discuss all the big news and notes from SW6. Coming up on this episode, who's been where doing what? It's an international roundup, not a series of allegations. We'll look ahead to the second leg of Chelsea Women's Champions League quarterfinal with Wolfsburg, as well as the upcoming Premier League game with West Brom. We'll answer your questions and more, available for free wherever you get your podcasts and ad-free on The Athletic. This is Straight Outta Cobham. Hey folks, Matt Davis-Adams here once again, joined by The Athletic's three Chelsea experts. Dominic Byfield is with us.
Good morning.
Liam Toomey's on board.
Hello. I can't stomach international football, I'm sorry.
All right, going bold from the start. You'll enjoy the first section of the show. And it's a very happy Monday to Simon Johnson.
Hello. I was going to try and think of something funny to say, but no, I never can.
Your delivery was humorous.
I just thought I'd start with my best Maurizio Sarri impersonation.
Very good too. Right, let's start by whizzing through what those Chelsea players on international duty have been up to. So the main story to emerge Chelsea-wise from the recent internationals, probably that N'Golo Kante suffered an injury on France duty. The club say it's a small hamstring problem. N'Golo on Twitter, I don't think it's the same one, asks, any chance Kante won't be fit for Porto? Liam, he's back at base being assessed.
Well, N'Golo on Twitter should know, surely. Yeah, we don't know any more than that at this stage. If they're saying it's a minor hamstring issue, then it's likely to be, you know, maybe a few days, maybe a week or two at most. But the thing with hamstring injuries is you cannot rush them. No one has ever run off a hamstring injury, so he'll be out for as long as it takes to feel right again.
Yeah, you think West Brom on Saturday is probably one he could sit out anyway if needs be. Also in France news, Kurt Zouma played the full 90 in Le Bleu, 2-0 away win to Kazakhstan on Sunday. Mason Mount's had a great time with England. Dr. Joe tweeting post the 5-0 win against San Marino. Mason Mount created 8 chances in open play in the first half against San Marino. The last player to create more in an entire match in a European World Cup qualifier was Xavi for Spain against Bosnia and Herzegovina in 2008. Mount went off at half-time in that game, as did Reece James. Ben Chilwell also started. Mount then went one better by scoring in England's 2-0 win against Albania on Sunday. As we heard at the top of the show, Kai Havertz scored in Germany's 3-0 win against Iceland. Tony Rudiger started that one. The pair also began Sunday's 1-0 win in Romania with Timo Werner replacing Havertz late on. Emerson started Italy's 2-0 win against Northern Ireland last Thursday, but was an unused sub as they beat Bulgaria by the same scoreline at the weekend. Andreas Christensen played in Denmark's 2-0 win against Israel, but sat out the 8-0 thrashing of Moldova. Simon, Christensen's been nominated for the Premier League Player of the Month Award for March. He's up against Iheanacho, Kane, Lingard, Mahrez, Meslier, Shaw and Trossard. Do you think he's got any chance of winning?
I'd be surprised if he wins it, but the fact that he's a nominee is notable in itself, because I can't remember him being nominated before. I may be wrong, but it's still an indication of just how well he's playing and how well he's thriving under Thomas Tuchel, and really taking the opportunity of of replacing Thiago Silva. I think we all thought when Silva pulled up lame, there was an instant, uh-oh, like this is the worst case scenario. He's been Chelsea's best defender all season, just brings that calm and assuredness. And ahead of such an intense schedule as well with some tough games. But Christensen has come in and played superbly and has actually done the remarkable feat of making Silva not really be missed at all. I'm sure Silva, of course, has been, as Tuchel explained before the international break, he didn't want to rush him back. There was no point for the previous game with the international break and 2 weeks to get him fit. I just think it's great to have that option now of the two of them. And as we saw in the last game, Christensen actually played to the right of Zuma. So, which is something that Tuchel's also made clear that the two of them could play together. So my long-winded reply to your answer is no, he won't win it. But the fact he's even in contention is a credit to him and a sign of just how well he's playing.
Yeah, he's turned his form around, which is what we're hoping that Christian Pulisic can do. Dom, you said international duty might do him some good on last week's pod. Well, he played the first half of the USA's friendly against Jamaica in Austria, and then he scored the winner from the penalty spot as they beat Northern Ireland 2-1 in a friendly over the weekend. So it's not going to have done him any harm by the sound of things.
No, and it's more about game time than anything else, but the goal will help his confidence, I would have thought. Just getting some minutes under his belt to come back to Chelsea in slightly more rhythm. And I'm sure it would have, the change of scenery would have helped him as well, because as we mentioned before, this is a kid effectively that's been deposited in a foreign country for the weirdest time of any of our lives, let's be honest. Society all over the place. So it would have been nice for him just to get a change of scenery, just to blow away a few cobwebs and see some old mates. I'm sure he'll come back refreshed and eager to prove his quality at Chelsea again.
Yeah, Chelsea also got some players away with England under-21s, Callum Hudson-Odoi and on loan defender Mark Gerhey, both part of the England side that lost their opening Euro under-21 group game to Switzerland. Hudson-Odoi then picked up a minor injury in training, not expected to keep him out of any Chelsea action. He did sit out the defeat to Portugal on Sunday, though, which Gerhey started and Conor Gallagher came off the bench in. That result leaves England on the brink of elimination. Here's a question from CFCJ, who asks, has this international break come at a good time for Chelsea? We're in good form, but there's still the sense that some players need that time away, especially the attacking players. Liam, it's kind of a difficult one to answer when we've still got fixtures to go and we don't know. There might be some key injuries or whatnot, but it must do them some good, just a little break away from Cobham in this season of all seasons.
Yeah, I think in that sense, just the change of scenery could be good for some of them. Some of them, of course, are still at Cobham and Tuchel gets a chance to work with them. But it's always a bit of a trade-off with international breaks, and you don't really know whether it's been beneficial or not until the players come back. If you're a coach like Tuchel, you don't know until you get the group back together whether it's had a positive or a negative effect. And, you know, Chelsea were on a really good run heading into the break, and part of you is worried that maybe they lose that momentum at a time when they've got a really winnable run of games that they have to rack up the points in to put themselves in control of the top four race and, of course, maintain that momentum leading into the Porto tie. And then you mentioned the injuries as well. You know, it was only a week or two ago Tuchel was saying the problem Billy Gilmore has is that N'Golo Kante, Mateo Kovacic and Jorginho are never injured. Well, Kante's back at Cobham now with a minor hamstring problem, and Jorginho sat out Italy's games with a knock. So these things can always have unforeseen consequences, international breaks, and I think generally club coaches would rather not have them at all.
All right, next today we'll turn our attention to the women's team.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
On Wednesday this week, Chelsea women play the second leg of their Champions League quarterfinal with Wolfsburg. The Blues 2-1 up after last week's thrilling first leg. Like that game, the return will be played in Budapest. Here to reflect on that inverted commas home leg and look ahead to the rematch, it's The Athletic's women's football correspondent Katie Wyatt. Katie, brilliant result for Chelsea in the first leg, finally getting a win against Wolfsburg. Fair to say they were slightly fortunate though, given that Wolfsburg hit the woodwork three times and Katrin Berger performed her standard heroics.
Yeah, it was a strange one, really. I think that we have not seen Chelsea struggle like that for a long time. I think that they were on the rack for such large portions of that game. But even when they were struggling, they still had moments where they looked quite good on the break. But for them to just turn that around in the second half and just have those moments of magic that we have become so accustomed to seeing from Sam Kerr and Frank Kirby, it just really sort of typifies what this Chelsea team are about and their ability to produce these moments. So it was a very difficult and different challenge for them, but I think that the interesting thing with this Chelsea team is that we are seeing them rise to so many different challenges this season. So the fact that they did it again should probably be unsurprising at this point, but it was a real achievement for them for sure.
So Chelsea were excellent. I don't know about you, but I was a little bit disappointed in Wolfsburg, particularly I thought their defence looked quite ropey. Was that down mainly to the pitch, or are they not the force that they were a couple of years ago?
I'm not sure. I mean, I was fairly impressed by a lot of their attacking play in particular, because everybody who watched the game would have seen them doing all these sort of flips and tricks and head tennis style stuff as they were in and around Chelsea's box. So they were very, very impressive on the break, but obviously just their finishing was suspect. And I think that was a real achievement for them to even reach that point, because them losing Penny O'Hara to Chelsea last season was a huge loss for them, because she was the jewel in their crown for so many years. And I think defensively, it's very difficult to say. I mean, I don't think that they flattered themselves in with their what they were doing for Sam Kerr's goal. I don't think it was very wise to try and play out from the back like that. But we have seen them in still doing really, really well in the German league. So I'm not too sure what conclusions I can kind of draw on their defence from one game.
So after that one game, Chelsea flew back to England to play Villa at King's Meadow on Sunday, slightly concerned about the timing of the game, but actually, might it have turned out to be the best possible thing, because Chelsea made some changes but not loads, were able to keep ticking over, got a routine win, and it was basically a gentle stroll.
Yeah, it was six changes for them, and I think it was one of the where they really had to be patient for it. I've said it earlier, but I think that this Chelsea side, they're just very good at rising to every sort of challenge and finding a solution to whatever problem they can face. And they had to wait a while to break down this Villa side, but when they did, Kerr and Kirby were just on form again and did what they always do in the way that they always do it. So you sort of feel for a little bit, as long as they have Kerr and Kirby on the pitch, they've got a bit of a get out of jail free card almost, because they're just never not going to produce. But it was just a different question for them that again they answered, and I think that for them to make the number of changes that they did, and we're all well aware of the depth in this Chelsea squad, and to then go on and pick up the points that they needed was particularly vital for them, and just keeps them ticking over in the WSL and gives them a very good chance at getting the quadruple this year.
So you mentioned Kerr and Kirby there, who've obviously been the stars over the last month or so, and Pernille Harder scored against Wolfsburg too. Chelsea without Bethan England at the moment, she's got a concussion. Is it fair to say she probably struggled to get much game time at the moment anyway?
It's quite difficult to say, because, I mean, it's very hard to look beyond that combination of Sam Kerr and Fran Kirby and just how dynamic they are and the way that they have connected so instantly. And I think if you were playing Bethan England just behind that, then she would certainly be a creative force and wouldn't necessarily be ruled out of the picture. But you wouldn't, I think, be willing to build a team around her strengths at the moment as much as you are willing to build them around Kirby and Kerr. But certainly I think that there's still very much a place for her, and you have seen them playing with them this season. So I wouldn't rule her out of having a starting place at all, or being very much a part of this Chelsea side, because we have seen very much those three working together, and even working together as a four with Pernille Harder as well, and just Chelsea really throwing all sorts of that attacking, I don't want to say attacking triangle, because there's four of them, that attacking square in the forward line. So I don't think it's out of the question that she will start again and continue to feature this season. But I don't think that she's the key component of this Chelsea side. And it's certainly Kirby and Kerr whose strengths they'll be wanting to build around.
All right, finally then, Katie, do you think Chelsea can get the job completed against Wolfsburg? And if so, what's going to be key to them doing that?
I think probably starting with far more control in the game than they did. I think that they were under so much pressure and were being threatened so much for that whole first half. They just really need to set down a marker early on and get back to them having that control in the midfield areas in particular. And just maybe allowing Frank Kirby and Sam Kerr to torture defences with the glee that they usually do. And I think that if they can do that early on and rattle Wolfsburg and really just dominate possession a little bit more than they did in the first leg, then that might be a really key marker. I think that the scary thing is the amount of attacking talent that Wolfsburg-Chelsea side. Chelsea absolutely do not want to get into a position where they're just riding wave after wave after wave of Wolfsburg attacks, because as good as Ann-Kathrin Berger is and as good as that Chelsea defence is, it's this Chelsea team should do far better and should be aiming for a lot higher than that. And I think that it's always a very risky strategy to try and ride out wave after wave of her attack. So hopefully they can maybe get a little bit of a foothold in the game earlier on than they did in the first leg, and then we'll start to see Sam Kerr and Frank Kirby produce those moments of magic and those moments that they're really famed for, and Chelsea can sort of control it as much as you can, because it's obviously a big ask to control a game against a side like Wolfsburg. Maybe that is too much to ask and unrealistic, but I just feel instinctively that they maybe need to start a lot better than they did in the first leg.
Katie White there, read her only in The Athletic. Danny O'Brien tweeted to ask what the prize money for the Women's Champions League was. Danny, I can tell you that the winners get around $500,000. Liam, here's Dean Mears asking, have Kai Havertz and Timo Werner got what it takes to become the Sam Kerr and Frank Kirby of the men's team?
They've got some potential, these two, haven't they? I think the comparison definitely works with Kerr and Werner. I think we've referenced it on the pod before, but Kerr is probably a decent example for Werner to try and emulate, because she came over, was missing hatfuls of chances, constantly getting into the position. So movement has always been excellent in this team. But now the finishing touch and the rhythm and the confidence seems to be in full flow, and we're finally seeing the real Sam Kerr in English football. And she's been weaponized at the head of a already incredible Chelsea attack. So we're seeing the best version of her. And Kirby, yeah, I mean, you couldn't get someone physically more different to Kai Havertz. But I guess they do kind of drift between the lines in a similar way. Very elegant on the ball, driving with it. He's got to raise his game a little bit to get to the level that Kirby has maintained this season, because she's probably been the best player in the WSL. But I thought there were some promising signs in the highlights of Germany's game. As I said, I don't watch international qualifiers. I just can't do it. But they looked like there were some interesting moments from Havertz, particularly against Iceland, scored a great goal, had another nice goal chalked off for offside. So he's continuing to show the signs of life that he showed for Chelsea in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see if he's involved when West Bromwich Albion visit Stamford Bridge this coming weekend. We'll look ahead to that match next.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Sam Allardyce will be bringing his 19th century tactics to West London on Saturday as his surely doomed West Bromwich Albion serve up Chelsea a softball on the return from the international break. Here's a question from James. I'll put it to you, Simon. How many points from the remaining games do you think Chelsea will need to secure a top four spot? I got a grade E in GCSE mathematics, so I'm staying well away from this one.
Get your calculator out, Simon.
I'm playing it with a fairly straight bat. I'm gonna go sort of 2 points per game to make it safe. So another 18, perhaps 19 to make it to the 70-point mark. If I'm being a bit greedy, I think that works out. I think that works out with my maths. So yeah, and I think that's achievable. The way they're playing at the moment, if Chelsea get that kind of return, that the teams below them, like all the teams barring Man City, haven't really shown that consistency. So it would take some for them to get more points than that, I think, to overtake Chelsea. So that was my conservative estimate.
Dom, just looking at the remaining Premier League games, one potential fly in the ointment is that other than your beloved Crystal Palace and Arsenal, the rest of the teams that Chelsea have got to play have pretty much got something to play for. I guess you might chuck Villa into that category on the final day of the season, but you know, still got to play Brighton, Manchester City, West Ham, Fulham and Leicester. They're all teams who won't be playing in flip-flops at that time.
Well, yeah, but I don't think that can be used as an excuse for Chelsea not prevailing in a lot of those games, to be honest. That can work both ways. So they're playing against teams that are haunted by relegation. There can be anxiety in the Fulham ranks, for example. I mean, there certainly will be this weekend at West Brom, because I suspect this defeat that West Brom suffer at Stamford Bridge on Saturday will pretty much be the nail in the coffin. That's them done, if they're not already. Man City may have won the title by then. They're well clear. They play, I think, four games from the end of the season. I mean, Leicester and Chelsea could both be well ensconced in the top four when they meet in the penultimate match as well. So, I mean, I don't think that's a problem. If anything, it should serve as a motivation. If Chelsea know they're up against a stern test, you know, they will be challenged, then they'll raise their game accordingly. The last thing they want is complacency setting in. I mean, obviously, I hope complacency sets in at Selhurst Park on Saturday the 10th, but the reality is it won't, and I fully expect Chelsea to build up a head of steam. The games on that list that are actually the most intriguing for me are things like West Ham away, you know, because West Ham at the moment are hanging on in there. They're on Chelsea's shoulder. They will go into that match knowing that they have to win that game to flip that round and make sure that they're the team in that top four going into the run-in. Be intriguing to see how Arsenal cope at Stamford Bridge as well, because they're very, very unpredictable, Arsenal. I think they try in every match. I don't think there's an issue there. I just think that sometimes they try and they're awful, and sometimes they try and they're quite decent.
Dom predicts a Chelsea procession. Be worried, fans.
Well, I was just feeling much better after that, to be honest. In terms of Saturday's game, Liam, if you're, for example, Tammy Abraham, you've got to be absolutely desperate to start this match, haven't you? You've had that period at Cobham trying to impress your boss. You got the last-minute equaliser in this fixture back in October too, but this feels like a vital opportunity for him to impress.
Yeah, definitely. And you've just had the last 2 weeks as a reminder that your England aspirations are slipping away for the moment as well, because England are playing and scoring, including your teammate Mason Mount. You're having to watch other Chelsea players, Reece James as well, building their England careers while you're rehabbing at Cobham and trying to gear yourself up for this one game. And Abraham's in a situation right now where every time he'll play, it's going to be a referendum on him as a player under Tuchel, and a referendum on him being the number nine that Chelsea need. Unfortunately for him, that's just the way it is. That's just the kind of pressure he's going to be under. I've always got the sense with him that he's someone who relishes having that pressure. I think he's got the mindset to succeed at a big club, but he's just, I think he's just running out of time to show in the remainder of this season that he can be the striker that Chelsea need.
Yeah, big game for him. Simon, I was just looking back at the reverse fixture from the Hawthorns back in October, and a lot of elements about that game make it feel like an awfully long time ago. You know, Chelsea with Caballero in goal, a really ropey defence marshalled by a Thiago Silva who had a bit of a nightmare on his Premier League debut, and Marcos Alonso spending the second half on the team coach. Things change quickly in football.
Yeah, and also a tremendous comeback, let's be honest. From three goals down. I mean, it was a complete shambles in the first half. It seemed like every time West Brom went forward, they scored, which was three times, I think. It was literally, that's all West Brom did, but the calamitous defending. And yeah, it does seem like a long time ago. But one of the things I sort of remember from that was also the flash of Kai Havertz, who's been sort of criticised for long periods this season. But I think we saw in that game the kind of quality touch that he has around the box. I remember a lovely layoff to Hudson-Odoi for one of his goals. Mason Mount scoring the kind of goal that Lampard would score from sort of 25 yards. And he hasn't probably shot enough from that range in his career, and something that he needs to add to his game. But it was a cracking game, but very much 2 points dropped from a Chelsea point of view, even though they came back from 3-0 down. They can't afford to make such sloppy mistakes on Saturday. I don't think they will, because I think they're better organised now. Obviously, players like Thiago Silva, if he does come back, maybe being safe for Porto, but if he does come back, he's going to be in he's going to be more sort of tuned to English football than he was on that day. I think playing at the Hawthorns was a bit of a shock in those circumstances. But yeah, I just remember it being an absolute cracking game of football, but indicative of the Lampard era, really. Good going forward, very entertaining, but always susceptible to the counter-attack and a sloppy mistake.
Well, Chelsea versus West Bromwich Albion is a 12:30 UK kickoff time on Saturday at Stamford Bridge. We will, of course, react to it in next week's show. That's just about it for this week, though. Before we go, let's hear what the chaps have been working on for Athletic subscribers to enjoy. Simon, you've been writing about Mason Mount.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Much to mixed reactions, as per usual. I trod on that minefield again. I sort of, it's kind of a bit of a follow-up to Liam's piece of about 7-8 weeks ago, when Liam wrote a piece when there was a lot of alarm when Tuchel just took over. But now we're highlighting, well, actually, he's won over another coach, as the minutes table shows. He's fifth in the table for most minutes, and that's despite being rested in one game and being suspended for another. It's just remarkable how he sort of, there is this sort of great pool of people that continue to not like him, but he continues to win over managers. And anyone that thought that the teacher's pet of the Frank Lampard era was going to be phased out by Tuchel has sort of been disappointed, because he's become a mainstay of his team as well. And we go into, with help from our analytics guy, Mark Carey, we go into detail of how he's actually become even more of an attacking threat under Tuchel. Plus a few nice little anecdotes about, for example, when he paid for the academy players, he walked past a cafe in Cobham, saw them all eating away, and he just snuck in and paid the bill for them, which I thought was the kind of thing, and I hesitate to say this because I know the kind of reaction it would garner from certain factions, but it was the kind of thing that John Terry would do when he was captain, is do that kind of thing. And I'm also told that academy players are told to look at Mason Mount as an example to follow in terms of the way he acts, conducts himself, the way he trains, the cliche of first to arrive, last to leave, all that kind of stuff. So I go into a lot of detail about that. But in terms of pieces for the rest of the week, I'm also doing a piece on Ross Barkley. And a bit off the wall, a bit off the Chelsea patch, I've gone and followed Russell Martin, who's a very rising, prominent coach at MK Dons, and is playing in a very sort of Chelsea sort of style of play, although actually he models his style on Pep Guardiola's Man City.
Yeah, doing good things. An unattractive football club playing an attractive style of football, it would probably be fair to call them. Liam, what about you? What are you working on this week?
So I did a piece over the weekend on the Haaland sweepstakes. And for anyone who doesn't get Haaland, what are the other options? So that piece up on site at the moment. Be sure to check that one out. Patrick Bamford's inclusion in the list raised a few eyebrows. This week, I'm working on a piece about how Chelsea actually defend so well. We've written a lot about individual defenders and kind of the smaller picture of the changes Tuchel has made, but I'd like to look at a big tactical picture of how they defend from the front, how they defend transitions and all this sort of how a below average defensive team has become one of the best defensive teams in Europe in the space of 10 games. It's been the transformation that has completely underpinned this team's success under Tuchel. So I think it's worth looking at. And later this week, I'm working with Dom and a couple of other people on a piece that I think a few of our subscribers have wanted to see for quite some time. A look at Malang Sarr, who Chelsea will be coming up against with Porto because loan players can play against their parent clubs in UEFA competitions, as Chelsea found out with Thibaut Courtois a few years ago. Whether he will play or not, not sure, because he's not a regular starter every week for them, but he has impressed at times this season, and so I think he's more than well worth a closer look.
Excellent. Dom, as well as that, what else will you be working on in the coming days?
I'm doing a piece about managers who get abused by their own supporters. I imagine Rafa Benitez probably comes into that in the Chelsea context. That's ahead of Mourinho versus Steve Bruce's Newcastle this weekend. And there's a piece up with a bit of a Chelsea slant on the Whitgift School connection that went up end of last week. Callum Hudson-Odoi, Jamal Musiala, who made his Germany debut as he's now a senior international. And various others, Victor Moses, while he was at Palace, went there, but obviously he made his name largely with Chelsea subsequently. So there is a bit of a connection there with all things Chelsea.
Excellent. TheAthletic.com/ChelseaPod, the place to go to get all the info on how to sign up. Right, that'll do it for us this week. Many thanks to Dom, Liam, Simon and producer Lucy, but mainly to you, listener. We'll catch up with you again same time next week. Until then, from all of us here, it's bye for now.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.